Okay, good evening, councillors and officers and member of the public, and welcome to this call-over meeting which precedes the planning meeting. Call-over meeting deals with a number of technical matters which the committee need to be updated on before the main meeting, and members of the planning committee should not discuss the planning merits of an application during this call-over meeting. Before we start tonight's proceedings, I need to run through some housekeeping matters. Emergency procedure: on hearing a fire alarm signal, evacuate the building immediately by the nearest safe exit route and go directly to the fire assembly point, which is at the front of the council offices on the green, and do not use the lift, and all four of these doors are emergency exits. Mobile technology can interfere with the PA system and induction loop systems and distracts other people at the meeting, so please could you switch off your mobile or put it on silent. And can I just add, we've had comments from members of the public and officers and legal about members not using their devices during the planning meetings for planning related activities. So can you please just use these devices for accessing mod.gov and any other planning related documents, because unfortunately people have been using them for doing emails and accessing other sites, and it's been noticed by, as I say, officers, members of the public and legal. So if we could do that, because that's what we're supposed to do at a planning meeting. Right, the declarations of gifts and hospitality, as instructed at the last council meeting, members are now required to declare at their earliest opportunity any gifts and or hospitality which they may have been extended to you. Your reminder, it is necessary to record all such offers, whether you accept them or decline them. So you can put in there, was offered whatever but declined because of, in the gifts and hospitality book, which will be made available for your convenience at each council and committee meeting. The book, along with a copy of the policy, is to be found on the table immediately outside the chamber where you would have signed in this evening. Right, thank you. To my left is Esme Spinks, our planning development manager, who will provide professional advice and guidance to the committee on planning matters and will deal with any technical planning questions which might be raised. Mrs. Spinks, Esme, please can you give us an update on any additional information received since the agenda was published?
I can indeed, Chairman. On the first application relating to Harper Home in 29-31 Forbridge Road, we want to table two just minor amendments to conditions 4 and 16. Condition 4 relates to contamination works, and condition 16 relates to water drainage scheme. What we're asking is that both conditions are amended so that demolition is permitted to take place, but no work below ground level, because that can take place and it wouldn't affect the contamination or the drainage because that happens underneath the ground. So those minor amendments to the start of the condition, the recommendation is as recommended, Chairman. And there's no other updates on the other items on the agenda. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And can you give us an update on which items we'll have public speaking tonight, which I suspect is none?
That's right, Chairman. There's no public speaking tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. And to my far right is Michael Picardo, our committee manager, who will be recording the minutes of tonight's meeting. Mike, can you please advise the committee as to any ward councillors who might have registered to speak this evening?
Thank you, Chairman. Tonight we have no ward councillors who have registered to speak.
Okay.
Thank you.
For that, there's no other procedural issues to raise. I therefore declare the call-over meeting closed. And welcome to the Planning Committee. This meeting is being recorded and will be made available on the Council's public website, and please could you switch on your microphone to speak and turn it off again afterwards. I'd like to introduce staff and councillors who will be involved in the meeting tonight. You've already been introduced to Esme, our Planning Development Manager, and to my far left is Paul Thompson, Principal Planning Officer, who will present the items and address any technical queries. And on the left outer horseshoe is Kelly Walker, Senior Planning Officer, who will be presenting the plans for item 5 and answer any technical questions. Seated to Mrs. Walker's left is David Burley, David, Housing Strategy and Policy Manager, who will be observing tonight's proceedings. And to my right is Camel Dolipsky, our trainee solicitor, who will provide professional advice and guidance to the Committee on Legal Matters. You've already been introduced to Michael. On the inner horseshoe and dais in front of me are the planning committee members who can vote and talk on the items unless noted by way of disclosure of interest. So would each councillor please introduce themselves, giving your name and ward, starting with Councillor Helen Harvey for the purposes of the recording.
Hello, Councillor Helen Harvey, Sunbury East.
Robin Sider, Shepparton Town.
Councillor Richard Barra, Ashford Common.
Rose Chandler, Ashford East.
Councillor Michelle Gibson.
Councillor Michelle Gibson, Riverside and Laleham.
Councillor Fiona Seaver, Staines Ward.
Councillor Jenny Vincent, Staines South Ward.
Lawrence Nichols, Halifax, Sunbury West.
Sandra Dunn, Halifax, Sunbury West.
Councillor Butter, Ashford North and Stanwell South.
I'm Councillor Richard Smith Ainsley of Laleham and Shepparton Green. Right, do I have any apologies for absence?
Thank you, Chairman. Tonight we've received apologies from Councillor Spork.
Thank you. Any other apologies? No.
Chairman, I think that Councillor Barnard was endeavouring to get here, but...
Right, okay, so we'll accept his apologies, and if he arrives, then he can talk on the next item. Okay, thank you. Item two is the minutes. Is it the wish of the committee I sign as a true record the minutes of the meeting held on the 18th of September 2019? Councillor Dunn.
Chairman, as my mod.gov is not working at the moment, can I go and pick some papers up?
Yes, would be the answer. Have we got any, Michael?
It depends on what papers.
The committee papers.
Did you mean the agenda?
Yeah.
Okay, and Councillor Nichols, it's not spreading, is it?
So. No. Never have a problem with Windows, would you? Could I just ask, the minutes are shown on the council website. Include the recording or link to the recording for items 1 to 3 of the last meeting and nothing more. Is there a reason for that?
I'll take that.
Michael?
No, Councillor, must just be an oversight. I'll rectify that tomorrow, so apologies. Thank you.
Okay, so as far as these minutes, is it agreed I sign these as a correct record? Thank you. Right, so can members of the committee please indicate any disclosures of interest they have on any item on the agenda, and I'll declare for the first item, for item four, for all members of the committee, insofar as it is a Spelthorne Knoll Green Estates application. Apart from that, do any members have any other declarations? Councillor Harvey.
Yes, I visited both the Harbour House application site and the Shepparton site.
Thank you. And Councillor Sider?
No declarations, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Barrett?
Nothing to declare, Chairman.
Thank you.
Nothing to declare.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Chandler. Councillor Gibson?
Nothing to declare, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Seaver?
Nothing to declare.
Councillor Vincenson?
Nothing to declare.
Thank you. Councillor Nichols.
Nothing to declare.
Thank you. Councillor Dunn.
Nothing to declare.
Thank you. Councillor Butar.
Nothing to declare.
Thank you. And I've got no declarations apart from the one mentioned earlier to declare. Right, moving on to the planning applications before us tonight. Item 4, planning application number 19/010029/FUL, Harper House, 29 to 31 Forbridge Road, Ashford. This application seeks to demolish the existing buildings and then erect a new building to provide 20 units of emergency temporary accommodation for homeless households. Mr. Thompson, will you run through the plans for us, please?
Thank you, Chairman. So just to get our bearings, the application site is outlined in red on these plans. The site fronts onto Forbridge Road, which runs in a north to south direction. To the northeast of the site is Chesterfield Road, and just a bit further to the north, just off the map, is Ashford Town Centre. In the report, we mentioned several times a neighbouring property, the nearest property to the northwest, 2A Chesterfield Road. That's kind of is in that corner there. These photographs are taken from Forbridge Road. The existing building, which is the main building in white, is part 2.5 stories and part 2 stories. The middle photograph shows the neighbouring properties of 35 and 33 Forbridge Road. So those semi-detached houses are situated immediately to the southern end of the building. You can just see part of the building on the right-hand side. And then on the right-hand side photograph is Harper House seen in context with the houses further to the north in Forbridge Road. These photographs are taken from Chesterfield Road. The left-hand photograph shows the rear elevation of Harper House. And you can also see at ground level the existing access gate that leads to the rear yard area. The right-hand photograph shows 2A Chesterfield Road, and also beyond that, 2 and 4 Chesterfield Road. These photographs are taken from within the site in the rear yard area. The left-hand photograph shows the rear elevation of the existing building. The right-hand photograph is looking in the opposite direction towards the rear, and that photograph shows the existing outbuildings at the end of the rear garden area. Up until recently, these outbuildings were occupied as two separate units of accommodation. This is the existing site layout plan. The existing building has been heavily extended over the years with for example, some quite substantial rear, single-storey rear and side extensions. The plan also shows the location of the outbuildings at the far end of the rear garden. You can also see in context the neighbouring house at 2A Chesterfield Road. So this application involves the demolition of the existing buildings and the erection of a new building to provide 20 units of emergency temporary accommodation for homeless households. The proposed use and the number of units will be the same as existing. However, the standard of accommodation and the facilities will be much improved. The new building will comprise 3 floors of accommodation. The top floor, the second floor, will be accommodated within the roof space, and that floor will be provided, will be served by dormers and windows in the gables. The outbuildings will be demolished and replaced with amenity space. There will be a slight improvement in parking provision. So moving on to the proposed elevations. The top slide shows the proposed front elevation. So this is the elevation fronting onto Forbridge Road. The building will be faced in a mix of brickwork, render and clay roof tiles. The bottom elevation is the proposed side elevation as viewed from Chesterfield Road. The top slide is the proposed rear elevation. The rear of the building includes a rear wing that projects out on the left-hand side. As this is positioned closer to the neighbouring house, it's been designed so that there aren't any main windows in that elevation, so there won't be any overlooking from that particular part of the building. The bottom elevation, that's the other side elevation, so that is how you'll see the building from 33 Forbridge Road. And these are, just looking in a wider context, these are the proposed street scene elevations. So the top slide is the Forbridge Road elevation, and you see that in context with 33 and 35 Forbridge Road on the left-hand side. And then on the other side, to the right, on the other side of the junction with Chesterfield Road, is 25 Forbridge Road. And then moving down, again we've got the Chesterfield Road elevation, and you can see that in context with 2A Chesterfield Road on the right hand side. This is the proposed ground floor plan. The ground floor will comprise 6 units. There will be 2 disabled parking spaces at the front. 2 of the units are designed to be accessible for disabled people. These are the proposed first and second floor plans. The first floor on the left-hand side, that will comprise 7 units, and then there'll be a further 7 units in the second floor. That's it, thank you.
Thank you for that, Paul. We don't have public speakers on this, so the item is now with the committee. Councillor Harvey.
Thank you, Chairman. I should like to move the motion to approve the application as per the officer's recommendations and subject to the conditions outlined in 8.1.
Thank you. And Councillor Sider to second that.
Second, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Harvey.
So this application involves the demolition of existing buildings and the erection of a new building with 3 floors of accommodation to provide 20 units of emergency temporary accommodation for homeless households, together with associated plant room, car parking, bin store and other associated facilities. This application is for the council to redevelop the property known as Harper House, Forbridge Road, Ashford. The council purchased the property in April 2016 following what the vendor, who was the council's key provider at the time for emergency family accommodation, placing the property on the market. There were therefore serious concerns of losing this provision. The purchase enables Spelthorne to accommodate more of its families in need of emergency accommodation within the borough. The proposal will demolish the existing buildings, including the rear outbuildings, and the erection of a new building with 3 floors to provide the same number of units, 20 units, of the emergency accommodation, specifically for homeless households. The proposed facilities will be much improved on the existing situation and will accord with modern standards. Apparently the existing building requires a high level of expensive ongoing maintenance, which is disproportionate and fails to adequately provide for residents with mobility difficulties. These issues will be addressed in the new development, and additionally a staff office with toilet will be provided. Currently the lack of staff offices facilities has meant that there has had to be a floating management where the provider is based elsewhere. The new building aims to provide homeless families with a safe and secure temporary home, which provides the best opportunity for them to move on to settled accommodation in the long term. The current outbuildings located towards the rear of the site, which are used as two self-contained units, currently will be removed and replaced with an amenity space, which will present a welcome improvement to the site. It is considered by the officer that the relationship with neighbouring residential properties will be acceptable. The proposed parking provision will be slightly greater. It's going to be 7 compared with 5. And the design and materials of the proposed building, I think you would agree, is certainly visually good and, in my opinion, does reflect the character of the existing area and indeed enhances the street scene. Members should note that the proposed unit sizes are below the minimum dwelling size standard, but the officer considers that there are clear planning reasons for justifying the room sizes. These rooms are not for long-term occupation, and the average stay is 14 weeks before a family moves on. As such, the standards in the NTHS and the SPD are not directly relevant to this application. As such, it is considered that the unit sizes are acceptable, and indeed the room sizes do comply with HMO standard room sizes as a means of reference. In order to make the development acceptable in planning terms, it is required that a legal agreement be made, which will ensure that the development is used for emergency temporary accommodation for homeless households in perpetuity. As such, the officer is recommending the application for approval, subject to such an appropriate legal agreement being put in place.
Okay, thank you for that, Councillor. Councillor Sider.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, Harbour House has been around, firstly, as long as I've been on the council. been around for 19 years in one guise or another, and it's taken the council now to get to grips with it and provide further accommodation for people who might find themselves homeless. Now, I'm well aware it doesn't agree with the national technical housing standards, but there again, these people are only going to be there for a short space of time before they move on. So I don't have a problem with that. But with regarding the parking, there again, it's unlikely, I would suggest, that people who are homeless, they might not have a car. So I'm happy with the parking standards. And the amenity space, I'm happy with that. I think it's a good proposal, Chairman. I like the look of these slides that went up there in the brick and render. And I think it will complement Fortbridge Road. Thank you, Chairman.
Yes, thank you for that, Councillor. I agree with everything you're saying. This is something which the borough, basically for our homeless families, the previous building was substandard in a lot of ways, and this is a vast improvement on that. Mrs. Spinks, did you want to add something?
Just really to clarify on the likely average time. At the moment, across that, the B&Bs within the borough, it's about 14 months. For this site, it's about 6 months will be the average stay. So I just really wanted to clarify that. Thank you, Chairman. So it's 14 weeks, I beg your pardon. Or 14 months.
thank you for that. Yeah, and as Councillor Harvey said at the beginning, the reason for the condition that it be kept in perpetuity for this purpose is because of those substandard room sizes. And we need to have this sort of accommodation in the borough. So, Councillor Dunn.
Could I just ask the officer about the amenity space? Is there any provision in the amenity space for, it looks at the moment as if it's just grass. I mean, are there going to be any trees or bushes or anything at all?
Mr. Thompson.
There is some indicative tree planting at the front and some indicative shrub planting around the front and the rear of the building. But in terms of full details of landscaping, that is reserved by condition. We've got a landscaping condition proposed on the decision notice, and that will require the full details of tree, shrub and other landscaping to be submitted for approval.
Yeah, that's on page 29, paragraph 13, it states that they have to submit that landscaping proposal to us. And then on page 14, there's a bit about the landscape management plan, so they can't just submit it and then let the area deteriorate. So they have to manage it properly.
Yes, I was just looking at condition 15, which talks about providing bird and bat boxes, so I was wondering how they were going to hang those if there weren't any trees.
I think luckily it says a scheme to provide rather than they have to actually be up. But yes, so that I presume will follow. Before they go on the building. So, any other member wish to speak? Councillor Buttar.
Chair, two small questions. First one is 14 weeks, is that a minimum or a maximum stay?
It's basically an average stay for homeless families that currently occupy those sorts of properties.
Okay. Secondly, 7.10 in the bottom of the paragraph, it says consideration that the certificate of lawfulness is a material consideration in favour of this current planning application. Could you please just give me some information on material consideration?
So we're past on 7.10. Yes, sorry, Councillor Buttar, did you get the question?
I think so.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, Mrs. Spinks will respond.
So you, Chairman, I think Councillor Buttar, you're referring to the last part of that paragraph, where it starts in 2016. So the certificate of lawfulness was granted for 20 independent units on the site because a certificate of lawfulness can demonstrate that the use has taken place for a certain period of time, and they could demonstrate legally that this had been in existence for more than 10 years, which was the particular case here. So on the site there's a certificate that says there's 18 self-contained residential units within the building and two at the rear that have lawful established use, but those buildings don't meet the current standards either, the current internal size standards. So that's a consideration in the melting pot for looking at the planning judgment of this application, that there's a building which is going to be demolished on site, but that building also contains that development site also contains 20 units that don't meet our current standards either. So it is a factor in favour of it.
It basically makes it difficult to refuse the application because there are substandard units when the previous building had substandard units.
Yes, Chairman, that's right. But also, for you, Chairman, because we're also having this the legal agreement with to tie the development, so it will be a charge on the land. If the use changed in the future, they would have to come back to us for planning permission. They couldn't change them into 20 self-contained flats that were on the open market. It would have to come back to us.
Thank you.
Thank you. I've got Councillor Barrett and Councillor Gibson. Councillor Barrett.
I have to say, having lived in Ashford all my life, I think we'd welcome this to replace the existing building that's there. I think it's a lovely development and I'm minded to support it.
Thank you, Councillor Gibson, and then Councillor Chandler.
Just one quick question. Yes, it's a brilliant project, and also with the vicinity to the station, will allow people ease of transport and etc. So that's really, really welcome. Just further to Councillor Bhutto's question, though, what procedures are actually in place, as a matter of curiosity, to prevent the residents from massively overstaying the 14 week? I'm just curious.
Well, it wasn't 14 weeks wasn't the figure that they're allowed to stay to. 14 weeks is the average amount of time that people, the families that arrive for emergency accommodation, stay. So it's, the average figure is 14 weeks, but it, they may well stay a bit longer or they may well stay a bit less.
So it doesn't really matter if they stay for a very, very long time, just asking.
Just so you, I'm told by our housing options who manage the current site that the average stay on the current site is 6 months. So that would be sort of a reasonable assumption for the current application.
Thank you. Makes sense.
Okay, Councillor Chandler. I've got Councillor Chandler, and then I'll come to you, Councillor Bhutto, and then Councillor Seaver.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm very happy for this application, and it's good somebody can think about the homeless people. Sometimes homeless are couples, and sometimes one woman with one kid homeless. So they can stay in this place or not?
To you, Chairman. Paul Thompson's going to show the layout plan, but you'll see that there's all different size units on there. If Paul can identify some of the examples on the ground floor.
The units are designed to be a mix of either a units for two people, so that could be a couple, or three people or four people. So for example, you've got the unit in pink here at the front that comprises two bedrooms and has been designed to accommodate a family household of four people. And as the application, the proposed development states, it is for designed for homeless households. So they're likely to be families.
That's great.
And yeah, I mentioned earlier the units for two people. On the ground floor plan, here's one of the two-person units, which could, as I say, could be for a couple. And the green ones, therefore, three people. So looking at the one in this corner here, you've got like a double bedroom there and a single bedroom over there. Okay.
Okay, fine. Councillor Bhutto. Mr. Spinks just wants to add.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson, but just picking up on that, the pre-application discussions have involved housing options to tell us what their need is, and that's why there's a mix of housing types to sort of reflect the need in the borough.
That's really, really great.
Okay, Councillor Bhutto.
Thank you, Chair. I read through the application and I think it meets all the conditions. I have no problem supporting this application, but I'm coming back to the question earlier on. 14 weeks average, I don't think that satisfies me with the 14 weeks average. Because it's an emergency accommodation, there should be some kind of limit. And it is well known fact that when people moved into emergency accommodation, bed and B&Bs, they normally end up there more than, there should be 6 weeks. They normally end up there staying there a lot longer. I mean, this is newly built, and there should be some kind of condition that how long is stay would be maximum rather than average. Average could be, I think, I'm not satisfied with this average answer.
Thank you. we might just try and get some assistance from Housing Options.
Chairman, we can recommend that the temporary period is for a period of 2 years, which is similar to a hostel application that was approved at the last committee. Well, it's not similar, it's the same. If members feel more comfortable with that, then that would also meet the housing option requirements.
Right, so that, I mean, that's a suggestion if members agree to put on there that there's a maximum stay of 2 years for any family moving in there. Is that something which members would agree to? Well, Councillor Parrott?
This came up at Cabinet and it was told to us that there was a weekly renewable license, was my understanding, so that somebody would be permitted to stay on a weekly basis while their accommodation, and each week it would be reviewed and renewed. So I believe housing's looking all the time to move them on. So it is what it says it is, that it's short term. That's what we were told, and that's why there's this weekly license.
I'm getting a nod there that's correct. So does that help, Councillor Boutard? Then in fact there will be all the families, all the households that are there will have this weekly interview, as it were, to see whether they can move on or not.
Thank you. It does to some extent, because 2 years is too long. And we can't call this as a short term. If it's, I mean, they should be reviewed periodically, either it's 2 months or 3 months, but week, probably too short, but they should be reviewed by the officers and made every effort to remove them to...
Can you put your microphone on, please, Councillor? Which is on, is it? Sorry.
It's just my back to it. And there should be a regular, there should be a condition that how often that should be reviewed, and the officers trying to get them a more permanent accommodation.
Yeah, we don't think it's actually something which is a relevant planning condition that we could put on, because it's not relevant to the actual building that we're looking at. So I don't think we can actually put that on as a condition. So I've just been advised by our solicitor. Kenneth?
So if you would like to put something like that as a planning condition, that would have to satisfy a national planning policy framework, and paragraph 55 says that planning conditions should be kept to a minimum and only imposed where they are necessary, relevant to planning and to the development to be permitted, enforceable, precise and reasonable in all other respects. So I wanted the committee to be mindful of those requirements.
Thank you, Colonel.
Sorry, I don't want to labour this point, but I just want to, proposal has been put forward. I'm not talking about the planning application here. Proposal has been put forward, accommodation to provide 20 units for emergency temporary accommodation for homeless. So it's the proposal I'm questioning.
Yeah, this won't be permanent accommodation for residents. It's emergency accommodation for homeless households that present at the council as being homeless households. And it's not designed as permanent accommodation. And yeah, it is managed by the council. And as Councillor Barrett said, they do have weekly interviews to try and assist them with moving on. And as Mr. Vladsky's just said, we can't really put a condition on there with a date which isn't relevant as far as this planning application is concerned, the actual building. So it is temporary accommodation. It is not permanent, and that will be managed by the council's housing team. Okay, Councillor Barrett, did you just want to come back on this one?
I do actually. It was made by Councillor Attiwell that explained it, that essentially what happens is that people are moved out of already through the existing building has been working this way, and people have been moved out and found other accommodation on the timescales that have been spoken about, and whether that's been via being moved into something that's been rented elsewhere, or whatever the type of accommodation it has been, they have been moved on relatively quickly. So it is what it says. It's temporary, and that's why it's got the weekly review and the weekly license put on it.
Okay, right, thank you for that. And I hope that satisfies members that it is temporary accommodation, and it is properly managed by the council and the housing options team. Councillor Seaver.
Firstly, I just wanted to say that in 2001, planning permission was granted on condition that the number of residents was restricted to a maximum of 51. You know, what is the number of residents here for this particular? Is it still 51? Or is it more?
We're just going to have to add up the numbers in the rooms.
Chairman, we just have to look at each floor plan, because each room, as Paul Thompson said, has a four-person, three-person, two-person, one-person. So he's just going through the three plans and adding three floor plans and adding up the number of people on each floor to get the final, the total, the maximum total this is.
So it would accommodate a total of 54 people.
Okay, so obviously it's more than 51, and they're squeezing another three into what are already very small units, as we've established, contravening the NTHS standards. I think certainly with this maximum of 2 years, or whether it's 6 months or 2 years, is far too small for families, particularly if there are children involved, you know, who go to school, and if it's a couple possibly, but you know, it's very tiny, and I think that the units really should be, the size of it should be increased, notwithstanding that obviously refurbishment is a fantastic thing, and it's probably long overdue. I think the size of the units are just not acceptable. And really should be increased, and an alternative site found to build or accommodate further accommodation for homeless families.
Right, we're just checking with the housing options team, but what you're suggesting would mean refusing this application if, in order to do that, because we can't like adjust the sizes of the rooms.
Mm.
But we'll just see what the response is. And that the condition for 51 was it didn't apply anymore once the certificate of lawful development kicked in. And it's you now got these different self-contained units, but Mrs. Spinks will come back with news.
Just really to clarify that the existing building is let out by housing options for families, for children who live at the moment. Mm-hmm. To our minds, I mean, we've been inside the units, I've looked at the back, Paul Thompson's been inside the units. This is replacing the same number of units but in a much better quality accommodation. Yes, they are below the standards, but that's the reason why we're having the appropriate legal agreement to restrict the use of it so that it runs with the land and it's a charge of the land for the future.
Yes, that's the legal agreement. Is that actually in place now?
The planning permission wouldn't be issued until the legal agreement is signed.
Right.
So it will be subject to that first being signed and then the planning permission being issued afterwards.
Yes. I mean, do we have any information about the quality of the life of families living now? Are they generally sort of reasonably comfortable now?
I don't have the information for this part of the application. No.
Yeah.
It's in the planning papers, Councillor. You'll see that following the recommendation to approve on page 26 mm-hmm. at the top, the recommendation says that, but then it follows on saying if that legal agreement does not get signed, then the application gets refused. So,
yes.
So it will not go ahead without that legal agreement being signed.
One of the advantages as far as we can see is that there's these two units at the back of the site that are used, so they will be completely demolished and replaced effectively in the new building, and that area there will be, as Paul showed on the plan, will be given over to amenity space, which isn't really there at the moment. The moment you walk in, it's just a sort of a hard surface area, and then these sort of buildings at the back. So that's another thing that's sort of in the in the favour of the development. Yeah. So it's a balancing exercise, taking everything into consideration, and we've use that planning judgment to come to the decision that we have done.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, if it's a case of then there's demolishing going on and refurbishment, is it not possible to enlarge the rooms then? Breaking down the walls or whatever, I'm not an expert in building, but to make them just more habitable, particularly if the period of stay is extended.
Unfortunately, that's not what's being proposed with the application before us tonight. So we have to judge what we've got. We can't tonight say we want to have those rooms slightly bigger or anything like that. We have to deal with the application as we see it before us tonight.
Okay, thank you.
So Councillor Barrett.
Sorry to come back on this. Currently at the moment, we use Travel Lodge to house some of my families that have fallen on a hard time for whatever reason, and accommodation. And my understanding that this is greater than what you'll get in a travel lodge for room. So.
Okay, thank you for that. It is one of those things that the I touched on housing a bit in as a portfolio many, many years ago, and it is a very difficult issue for the borough to try and do the emergency housing and all the other bits of housing that we have to do. And that's why not only this development, but others that we're looking at for homeless people are coming forward from the borough, because it's also a horrendous cost, and we don't have a check on the accommodation that we send people to somewhere like out in Slough. So it's incumbent on us to try and get this accommodation in the borough where we can keep an eye on it.
And that was the reason for it, to keep people within the borough, to stop sending them out and causing them further disruption with their lives.
Right, okay, Councillor I'll take Councillor Nicholls first because he hasn't spoken, then Councillor Chandler and Councillor Gibson.
Just briefly, Mr. Chairman, I noticed the design and access statement indicates that the gross internal area is going up from 900 to 1060 square metres, so at least it is an improvement.
Okay, thank you for that. So, Councillor Chandler.
Thank you, Chairman. I think for two bedrooms, 70 square metres is a very good square metres for two bedroom. I think so this is not bad for a two-bedroom flat for 70 square metres. And this is already temporary, so I'm happy for that.
Okay, yeah, thank you for that, Councillor. And then I've got Councillor Gibson.
I was just going to say, to be honest with you, as much as I hate to say it, there are some homeless people around where I work currently. And having had a chat with a number of, as many of them as I can, you know, two or three for the present time, if we were to make the accommodation larger, just saying, and deprive a couple of people of actually having a roof over their heads, I think that would probably be worse than having larger accommodation that was more fitting for people to stay there longer, because these guys are crying out for something and they would prefer to be somewhere that was comfortable rather than not have the opportunity because.
Yes, thank you for that, Councillor. It is a balancing act to try and do the best that we can for our residents. Councillor Nicholls, you've spoken, Councillor Chandler, Councillor Gibson. Any other councillor wish to speak? No. Okay. The motion was to approve, subject to the conditions. All those in favour of that motion, please show. That's unanimous. So application number 19/01029/FUL Harper House 2931 Forbridge Road Ashford is approved, subject to the conditions and a legal agreement as set out in paragraph 8 of the officer's report. So turning to item 5 now, the second application. Yeah, Councillor Barnard, welcome. Your apologies were given, but in case you didn't make it, but you are here now. Would you like to repeat and say who you are and what ward you represent and whether you have any declarations of interest?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do apologise profusely to everyone for arriving late. I'm Colin Barnard, Shepperton Town Ward, and I have had no correspondence on either of the items in the...
Okay, and I had declared for you on that one, but of course it doesn't matter.
No.
So. Right, so turning to the second application, 19/01069/FUL Shepperton House, 2-4 Green Lane, Shepperton. This application seeks the proposed redevelopment of existing building to include three-storey rear extension and additional storey at roof level across the existing building to provide 13 additional residential dwellings, together with alterations to the ground floor retail units to include flexible use class A1, A2, A3 and A4. And 45 square metres of additional floor space and external alterations to the entire building facade. So, Kelly, would you run through the plans for us, please?
Okay, thank you, Chairman. So, I don't think my mouse is going to work, is it? I need to use the pointer, sorry. So the application site is outlined in red here, you can see on the plan, and it relates to Shepperton House, which is located on the corner of the High Street in Shepperton down here and Green Lane in this location here. So it's located on the junction, a large crossroads where Leyland Road and Old Charlton Road also join at traffic lights. So to the east of the site we have a number of residential properties, including those along Green Lane. So this is number 8 Green Lane, that's adjacent to the application site. We also have the railway station at Shepperton, just to the north of the site. And then to the south, we have a number of other commercial units on the ground floor along the high street, many with residential or offices above. Directly to the south of the application site here, we have a first and close, and there are three houses located along that road. We've got number 3, 2, and 1, first and close, which are chalet-style bungalows. And to the south of the site, across Thursden Close, is Thursden Parade. And this property here has recently had an extension on top of the building and also an extension to the rear. And this proposal is very much based on the design of that extension at that property. So this shows the site in a bit more detail. You can see outlined in red here. So the application site itself is a L-shaped building, a Shepperton house. Recently, the site has had an extension where the former 6 Green Lane was located. And the proposal is to have an extension to the rear of the high street frontage, in this position here. It will have a car park, as an undercroft on the ground floor. Two flats at the rear on the first floor and two flats on the second floor. And then there will be an extension on top of the building around the whole of the L shape, not including the extension, that will include an additional 9 flats, so 13 flats in total. No parking spaces are provided for the new residential units, but there are some amenity spaces by way of balconies. The current property has got commercial uses on the ground floor, and then there's an office and residential uses on the first and second floors. So I'm just going to go through the photographs and the plans now. So this photograph shows the view when travelling towards the application site from Leyland Road. So you can see the application site. You can see the corner of the building here, which has got McAteer's, the opticians on, and that direction is Green Lane, and then the high street is along this direction. And this is the property on the opposite corner on the high street. You can see it's relatively tall. It is 3-storey, but the corner part does become a bit taller here. This just shows the front of the corner where you've got McAteer's on the ground floor. The first floor is an office and then residential uses above. And to the left of the picture, you can see going towards Green Lane where the extension has been built. This just shows the site from further afield in the direction of the station. And you can see some of the Green Lane elevation and looking towards the high street. This again shows the application site on the left-hand side of the picture. So we've got the corner element where it bends around the corner at McAteer's. And you can see the other properties on the other side of the high street in the distance. This photograph's taken from the high street looking in the direction of Green Lane. So this is Thursden Close on the right-hand side. So this is the side of the high street frontage. And this is where the proposed rear extension will be going. You can see the ground floor commercial units are set back and will remain so. This just shows, again, the same side elevation here. This is Thursden Close. And here you can see the adjacent property at Thursden Parade. This is Costa Coffee. This has recently been extension on top of the roof has been completed, which is set back from the frontage, and the whole building has been modernised. This just shows the building a bit more clearly. So you can see this is the tree, that's the big tree at Christmas time, and you can see that the floor has been added to the top of the building. It's set back and it's glazed, so it's not particularly evident from people walking past at ground level. This shows a bit further along with the same building, and again you can see the top floor that's been added to the building, and then we've got the building that houses the co-op further along the high street. This is the side elevation again looking into Thursden Close. This shows further down Thursden Close. And the left, you can see the access into the rear of the site where the car park is provided. You can see the rear of the elevation on Green Lane here, and that property that's white is the back of number 8 Green Lane. You can also see this is further down Thurston Close. This is number 3 Thurston Close in the distance here. This is number 2, and then number 1 is located to the right hand side. This shows the rear of the site looking towards the High Street. So this is the High Street rear elevation, and that elevation is the rear of the Green Lane elevation and the entrance into the application site here. And then this photograph shows the rear of the application site on the right hand side. This is Thurston Close looking out towards the High Street. And then this is the site adjacent at number 1 to 12 Thurston Close. You can see it's got a rear extension in this location here with residential flats here. And then it's got an additional floor on top. And as I say, the application here has been very much based on the design of that extension that's been built next door. So we just go through the plans. This shows the existing elevation along Green Lane. So to the left-hand side of the picture, you can see the existing residential property at number 8. This is the recent extension that's been built at Shepperton House. And then we've got the frontages with the commercial units and residential above. This is the corner plot with McAteers bending around the corner. The bottom elevation shows the rear of the top elevation. So this is looking from Thurston Close. So this is the side of the High Street elevation here. And then this is the back of the Green Lane elevation. And again, that's the extension that's recently been built and the access into the site here. So this is the proposal. So you can see quite clearly, the top floor that's being proposed along the top of the L-shaped building. So this is Green Lane frontage. You can see it's set back from the elevation that's currently there. And it also involves the modernisation of the frontage of the building to help blend the proposed extensions in and to tie it in with the existing extension at this property and also the modernised property next door. So the bottom elevation, you can see this is the proposed rear extension. So this is the existing side element of the High Street elevation. This is a proposed extension at the back of that. This is still the back of Green Lane, and then you can see the new floor across the top of the building here. And again, it's set back from these elevations, and you can see the solar panels on top of the roof there. This shows the existing elevation on the High Street frontage. So again, we've got McAteers in the corner here, and we've got the High Street frontage, the commercial units and residential above. And then this shows Thurston Close, the gap here. And then this is a property at Thurston Parade, which has recently been renovated and the new floor added to the top. And this is the same, this is a rear elevation of the High Street. So looking down from Thurston Close, looking towards the High Street. So this is the application site, the rear of the High Street element. And this is the side of the Green Lane element with Green Lane running in this direction here. This is Thurston Close. And then this is the property next door, which has got the three-storey rear extension in that location here, and also the floor across the top of the building in that location there. So the proposal, as just noted, is very much based on that extension, and that's evident from this plan. So this is the proposed building. So this is the new floor across the top on the High Street frontage. Again, you can see it's set in from these elevations, and it's very much in keeping, particularly in terms of heights and design materials, to the neighbouring property. And in addition, there are some changes to the shop frontages and windows on the existing building just to modernise the whole building. And again, this is evident in the rear elevation where we've got, this is the existing building. This is a proposed extension at the rear. We've got the Undercroft parking at ground floor level, two flats across the first floor, two flats across the second floor, and then there's additional 9 flats across the L-shaped bit on the top floor. And again, this just emphasises that it lines up with the existing extension at the neighbouring property, and the rear extension is very much based on the design of the rear extension at the neighbouring property. Just to go through the floor plans, the proposal also includes a few alterations to the existing in terms of the commercial units. So currently There's a very large commercial unit in this location here on the High Street, and the proposal is to segregate that into three smaller units, and also to have those three and that one as a flexible use within the A classes. So I'll just go through to the next plan now. So this shows the four separate units, and then those will be able to be used A1, A2, A3 or A4, which will allow them to be anything from a shop, a professional services such as an estate agent or a restaurant. And then you can see the green line here, which outlines the building above and the parking provision underneath. This shows the existing first floor plan. So you can see there's currently flats all along here. This one's an office and will remain so. And the proposal is for two additional flats at the back here at first floor level. This is the second floor, again, existing flats. And the proposal shows the additional two flats in the extension at the rear of the High Street element. Then this one shows the proposed third floor to go across the top of the entire building. And there are nine flats in total on this elevation, on this level, sorry. And it shows that each of these flats on this floor actually has a balcony where the building is set back from the front elevation of the property. This just shows the roof plan. And again, you can see the solar panels in that location there. So there are a few 3D visualizations which help to visualize what the scheme will look like. So this is taken from the Leyland Road elevation, and you can see the modernization of the whole of the building and the new floor on top, which is set back. This is taken from Green Lane. So this is the extension that's currently been built and the proposal for the roof on top. This again is slightly closer, looking towards the High Street. So you can see the new floor on top, the setback here, and then you've got the building next door. Again, this is taken from the High Street, so you can see the proposal, and then we have a gap here and the existing building, which you can see the proposal has very much been designed around in terms of design, materials, scale. This shows the elevation looking towards Green Street. So this is Thursday Close, so you can see the existing side, the proposed extension on top and to the side of the property here. And then this just shows the rear. This is looking from Thursday Close out towards the High Street. This is the neighbouring property. And then this is the proposed scheme, the rear extension with the car parking provided underneath. I think there's one more. This just shows looking slightly towards the back of Thursday Parade. And it just shows the context of this scheme and how it's designed to reflect the neighbouring property. So just to sum up, the application is considered to be acceptable. It doesn't provide any parking for the new proposed units, and it does have a shortfall in terms of amenity space for the new units. However, it is considered to provide a good standard of amenity for future occupants. It's also considered to meet a need for housing in a sustainable location where it's close to public transport links and local facilities. It's also considered to be acceptable from a design point of view and in terms of impact on neighbouring residential properties. So just to sum up, it's considered that taking the application as a whole there, and looking at housing need and the tilted balance, there are no adverse impacts that would significantly and demonstrably outweigh the benefits of the scheme that would justify refusing it. So the application is considered to be acceptable and is recommended for approval. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that, Kelly. The matter is now with the committee. I'll just reverse what I was going to do earlier. So, Councillor Harvey, do you want to move it?
Yes, Chairman. I'd like to move this application for approval as per the officer's recommendation and subject to the conditions in 8.1. Thank you.
And a seconder, please. Councillor Sider.
Secondly, Chairman.
Okay, thank you for that. Councillor Harvey.
Okay, so this is to extend the existing building into a three-storey rear, to include a three-storey rear extension and additional roof level, a across the existing building to provide 13 additional residential dwellings together with alterations to the ground floor retail units. There was a public consultation in which two letters of representation have been received, one on behalf of Shepperton Residents Association, raising concerns regarding overdevelopment, encroachment on private personal space, overlooking building be higher than other buildings, pressure on parking provision and impact on the character of the area, as in overbearing. Members may wish to consider those points when they're considering this application. The property is now, the current property is now looking dated and tired, and in particular, in light of the adjacent sites on both sides having been recently redeveloped and updated. Therefore, externally, the entire building will receive a significant update to the facade using materials and design to reflect the recent extension to 6 Green Lane and the adjacent site at Thurlston Parade, including new brickwork and render. There will be new shop frontages on the ground floor and changes to the fenestration. This will ensure that the proposed extensions will pay due regard and blend in with the entire building and adjoining ones. The application can be seen, I consider, as a proactive action by the applicant to adjust and update the retail configuration in order to promote occupancy at this end of the Shepperton High Street. The proposal is considered to pay due regard to the design and scale of the host building and will be in keeping with the character of the area, making positive contribution to the street scene. It will be sustainable. It will be a sustainable form of development, meeting a need for housing on a brownfield site. Although no additional parking is provided and there is a shortfall in amenity space provision, given the small units, town centre location, and based on appeal decisions at recent adjacent sites, it is therefore considered to be acceptable. The officer considers there are no adverse impacts that would significantly outweigh the benefits, which we've just gone through, and the application is therefore recommended for approval.
Thank you, Councillor Harvey. As you're saying, it's this tilted balance bit we have to look at as well, these applications. Councillor Slider.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, I think, first of all, I should thank Kelly Walker for an excellent presentation. Quite honestly, we've seen what's there now, what's going to be there in the future, so many photographs demonstrating this application, so absolutely first class, so well done. Yeah. Now, on this, really, in Shepperton, I think it's worth noting that when they had the development above Benson's Hairdressers, which you saw on the slide, right, there was a almighty hue and cry about that, but it slotted in nicely. And has been complimentary to the high street. What we need, as well as houses, we need people to occupy the retail units. and they're very much so many vacant at the moment. Now, policy, I think it's H01, tells us that of the need for housing, and this development will give us additional housing which is required. And I think you'll notice that the borough only achieved 63%, didn't it, with its forecast of housing. So this will go a long way to giving us a better percentage next time round. We're very protective of Shepperton and what goes in there. And I haven't received any representations from the business community whatsoever, and I'm sure my colleague will speak on that as well. So, all in all, I think there's no point in parking here, right? Because it's about 100 yards walk to the station and about 50 yards walk to the bus stop either side. So really, we're well served as such with a 555, 557 and a train every half an hour going from Shepparton Station. So I will support this application, Chairman, and I think it will be good for our village and again provide further housing which the borough needs. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Yeah, you've also got the 458 all the way to Kingston, flew through Shepparton. I don't know if that's it, but it's definitely have the 458, so it is well served. As Councillor Sider was saying, that extension that was put on top of the building that's to the right there behind those trees, that has blended in very well in the area. Though you didn't mention they had to do an awful lot of work on the foundations of the building, because they found when they wanted to put the other floor on top that it was too heavy. So they did an awful lot of work in the buildings below to strengthen them. But I think this is, from my point of view, it does look like a good development for Shepparton, well designed and designed to change this part of the corner, which I'm sure Councillor Sider will call Araby Corner, so, to make it look like the rest of that around the through Thurlston Parade. So I'm minded to support it at the moment. Seeing what other members might have to say. Councillor Barnard, so, did you want to come again, Councillor Sider? No, Councillor Barnard, did you want?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. When I first saw this, it took me back 2 years to when the last development was done. And I was minded to congratulate Kelly Walker on an excellent piece of work. And I can't fault it. 2 years ago, I spoke to the owner of this particular property with a view to maybe changing his plan to have shops in the lower part to maybe not having shops in the lower part. Because at that time, we had 14 empty shops in and around Shepparton High Street. And we're very conscious of the fact that the rents are quite high and we don't want to lose any more shops, but we can't seem to get those taken up. So that is a concern, and when I spoke to him, he ummed and ahed about it and basically said, well, it will be difficult, even if he applied for planning permission to change those shop units to flats, it will be difficult to actually, because of the configuration and the shape. So we left it there. 2 years on, he's come back with a new plan. I think it's an excellent plan, but it does still leave us with, I counted yesterday actually, 15 empty shops in Shepparton, in the main, what we call the core centre of the town, which is a great shame. I think this is an excellent design building. I'm not totally happy with the parking, and I would just mention, as the chairman mentioned, the bus that goes to Kingston. It's a bit of a slow bus, and it's better to drive down to the Three Fishers and get the 216, but that's a side issue. But anyway, I think it's well worth supporting. I think it will be good for Shepparton. I just hope that we can find some way of encouraging shopkeepers of one sort or another to come and trade in our beautiful town. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, thank you for that, Councillor. I think that may be why the applicant has asked for use classes A1 through to A4, which basically is most things you can think of, but stops at hot food takeaways. So it covers a lot of businesses that could go in there.
Mr. Chairman, you're not suggesting I had an influence on him, are you?
I never said that. I don't. No, I'm sure you'd have declared it if you had. So, Councillor Poutar.
Thank you, Chair. I think this helps the high street to regenerate. The main reason that our high streets are going down now is because they're derelict buildings. They're normally shops don't say upstairs, you see them, they are nothing there, storage. And I think this is the way we need to go forward to regenerate our high street. You've got to have, we've got to replace the accommodation as well, which we barely needed. And I think this is where we need to, those people, if they are living there, they would shop downstairs. And I think we need to find solution to regenerate and this building, the design, where it fits in with the rest of, and it gives a bit of facelift. And I think for that reason, this building covers everything that we need, you know, from employment down to accommodation and everything. So I think we should support this.
Thank you. Thank you. Councillor Nicholls and Councillor Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When I first looked at this on Modern Gov in grey, I thought it was a new head office for the Stasi. I have to say that in full colour in 3D, it does present a vastly improved aspect. My only real concern with this is I can't help but believe that the parking notion is a little bit naive. We're going to have 13 occupants of these with no cars, or you're going to have more parking problems in that area. But I don't think that determines the reason for refusal. Other than that, as long as it genuinely does look like the other, and I see we have conditions on materials, that I think it could actually make the place look a lot more uniform and better, frankly.
Thank you. One of the other bits on the parking side of things was with the appeal decision on the other side, the Thurston Parade one, the planning inspector came back with, I'm not persuaded that the proposed additional accommodation would result in an undue increase in demand for on-street parking at times that would conflict with present activity or residential amenity. Most of the units would be small and there is good public transport nearby. And I conclude the proposal would be unlikely to generate a significant need for more on-street parking provision. And that's one of those things that, because that was on the next door development, Thurston Parade, that it's something we have to take into account when we're looking at this one, because it's very likely that that's the same view that the inspector would take. Whether we liked it or not, I think, which is the unfortunate thing. So, but I mean, I do agree with you that there are parking issues, but we then got back to this bit about the this tilted balance approach, because we can't make our housing numbers. So, looking at it in the round, that's how we have to make our minds up. Councillor Harvey.
Thank you, Chairman. I do agree with the concerns about the parking that Councillor Nicholls and Councillor Barnard have expressed, but I understand the situation regarding appeals, and so perhaps this parking situation that may or may not develop as a problem over the years will be faced in a few years' time. Okay. In terms of the design, I am a bit concerned about the design on the Green Lane side. That is quite a dark area currently, and it looks like it's going to continue to be. Mostly, I think, to do with where the sun is. It's always very dark there, and it does not feel very welcoming. And I'm wondering whether they say that they've designed it according to the Thursfield site, which has actually got white as its main colour on the frontage, whereas this is still staying with this quite dark red brick. And also, I don't know, so that's something I'd like to know, if we could change that or make recommendations. Are we, and also, what about lighting? Are we, is that part of planning that you can ask for additional lighting, street lighting in that area to maybe address that sort of dark area?
To take them in reverse order, the second one would be up to the County Council to have come up with that idea if they wanted to, as the Highway Authority. And then the first one, Mrs. Spinks can answer that one. Sorry, Kelly.
Just to answer your query, the building has almost been separated in terms of the design. So the corner and the high street, in terms of the materials, is very much in keeping with the Thurston Parade building. The high street, because they've recently built the extension and it's in a similar sort of brick, there is a white element that's been added which lightens up the building. So the green lane element, but that element is more to tie in with the existing extension they've built. So it does take kind of two different external materials from one street scene to the other, in effect. So they are different, but I think they've done that on purpose to tie in with the existing extension.
Yeah, but I can see what you're saying, but going beyond that then, which is not on the high street, except it's...
Yeah, the green lane frontage is in keeping with the extension, so it is darker.
But nevertheless, it's my personal view that it presents quite a cold and unwelcoming as you come that way before you turn into the town centre. I would just like to part... This is a very dark red brick, and I think it should really not... We should encourage a lighter brick, certainly, there.
I just think because they've built the extension and that is brand new, they're trying to tie the existing building into that extension rather than entirely redesigning the existing part of the building and the extension as well.
You mean the green lane one, the six green lane one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mrs. Spinks, do you want to mention that?
Yeah, and just picking up on that point, in the committee report on page 55, we have condition three is a condition relating to samples, so they will need to be submitting samples to officers for the final approval, so the actual details for samples will be agreed by us. So hopefully that will, through you, Chair, will allay some of your concerns related to the external finishes.
Okay, any other member wish to speak on this one? No. The motion was to approve. All those in favour, please show. And that's unanimous as well. So, application number 19/01069/FUL, Shepperton House, 24 Green Line, Shepperton, is approved, subject to conditions. And item 6 is the planning appeals report, which for noting only, if you've got any specific questions on any of that, then please speak to Ms. Spinks, our planning development manager. Just a reminder to members that we have planning training. You normally have it down as like a weekly reminder for your diaries, if not daily. But there's a planning training session on Tuesday, the 22nd of October at 7 o'clock. And we've got the county engineer, Charlie Cruz, is going to be turning up, plus Surrey County Councillor Colin Kemp. And they'll be talking on highways issues. Yeah, and other county stuff which is relevant to these applications. So it's because we do, they are a statutory consultee for our applications, and a lot of the time when they come back with their responses, members think that they either haven't looked at it or they don't like the response, but Colin Kemp will be able to talk to members about that. And so that's 22nd of October at 7 p.m. And there are no urgent items, so I declare the meeting closed. Thank you very much.